and they can just watch. Each team is how many members and how much money do they start with?
They begin with $100,000 from DePaul and $100,000 on margin, which means they can borrow the other $100,000. Now, if they borrow, they have to realize that they're going to pay interest on that amount. The teams can vary from 3 members to 7. We have in this class 5 teams. My total classes, we have 15 teams. Another teacher here, Mr. Mowat, has 15 teams. So we have in our school now 30 teams. Now, we have had this in this school for 6 years. When I was at Calumet High School 7 years ago, they began this program. This is not a brand new program. We have been doing this for 7 years. And this was started by Dr. Richard Thornton from DePaul University, along with the Midwest security analysts, in order to inspire students to have more of an interest in business and to understand concepts of business, and most important, understand stock market.
So when students start in this class, and what is the name of this class?
The name, you can teach this in any class. You can teach this in United States history and economics, but we teach it in consumer education, law, and American society. So as shareholders, they are consumers, they're buying shares in corporations. They understand the business concepts. We begin with the definitions. What is a share? What is a corporation? What is a single proprietorship? What is a dividend? Is some of the things we learn. And as we proceed, we learn what a profit is and what a loss. So that our top team today has $111,848.06. And from what I can see, from just the 864 teams that Dr. Thornton has listed here, I think the lowest team, not in our school, but throughout the city and suburbs, had gone down to something like 64,000. So 60,000. So you can gain and you can lose.
So when students come into your class, do they know anything about the stock market generally?
Some of them do. And I have one student, Josh, who was in the stock market game in grammar school. And some of them learn something from their own parents, because their parents are investors. Graylin's father is in the gold market, and we had gone to the options exchange, the Midwest Stock Exchange, and we had also gone to the Chicago Board of Trade. Now, his father was dealing in gold in the pit. So this is not completely new to everybody, but it is new to a lot of our students.
So you did those on field trips?
Yes, we did a field trip in September to 3 of the markets in Chicago.
Okay. You started as were you a winner as an individual or head of your team?
The head of the team.
So you started with $100,000, and what did you finish with?
We raised it more than $136,000. More, we raised it more than we were given. Normally it goes lower, but we increased it, and we bought E.F. Hutton, Chrysler, you know, and we came in fifth place. We had a younger person, a grammar school, come in first place for, you know, going for a limited express, the gap, everything like that. And we just studied. It came like to us from the DePaul thing. And we studied, and that's when we were looking at the prices and all this stuff on how is it increasing and decreasing by the sales, and, you know, how is it dropping, stuff like that. Then so finally we looked at the papers, and it said that our team had won, and far as in the high schools, the most not most popular high school, but the more individually, you know, from DePaul, we got
a
salesperson.
The top Chicago team.
We came in sixth place.
How do you?
To the Chicago team.
Yeah. Now, how do you pick a stock like Chrysler? What made you decide to take that?
Well, We looked up on this. It was like more than, you know, a team effort, and we looked on the stocks to see how is it selling. Normally, you can tell by the streets you see so many cars of the same name brand. It must not, the financing and everything must not have been high on it for so many people to buy it. And it just encouraged me. That's about it.
Okay. Stocks before you started this?
Not even. I mean, I knew about money as far as saving and, you know, but never. But I know a lot about it now, and I still look it up even though I'm not playing any games anymore.
Do you still check to see how your old stocks are doing?
Just think one day I'll be able to have that money myself to invest in, you know, certain profits and stuff like that. I'll be able to get a lot of money from it, and I like it.
Would you hesitate to put real money into the stock market?
Not even. Mm-mm. No, that's why I wish it was mine.
Okay. And did you start doing this game?
Eighth grade.
In That's not here. What school?
That's grade school, Oscar Mayer.
Okay. So when you started then, I presume you knew nothing about the stock
nothing.
Market?
Nothing. I used to go home and read the newspaper about the stocks and what went up and went down.
And how did you choose the stocks you invested in?
Just by what we saw in the newspaper, about what the year-end high was and stuff like that. At the time, we lost money because we invested in Calico when it went down, et cetera.
Why did you choose Calico?
Because everybody thought it would be a good stock to invest in, being it was almost Christmas, and people would be buying Calico gifts, but the stock went down.
Calico had, what kind of toys did they have that you knew of then?
Oh, computers, ColecoVision, and it had some dolls too. And
so it seemed like a good, solid company, and it wasn't.
No.
How much did you lose, do you remember?
I don't remember.
But you came out negative. Did you invest any of your own money?
No, not yet.
Do you plan to?
Yes, in later years.
Do your friends take an interest in stock market, or are they surprised that you have the nerve to follow it?
No, they don't really even pay attention. They don't. They're not interested.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Did you know anything about the stock market when you came to this class?
Just a little bit. Just know what I heard about it. But I really didn't pay that much attention to it.
Did it take you long to get the hang of it?
No, not at all. Just, I don't know. We want to make money as quick as possible, and that's all we set out to do.
And did it take you very long?
No.
What are you investing in?
Well, we invested in a couple of things that we thought were going to be good, but we had to get rid of them. But now we only have the Gap and Capital Cities.
Why'd you pick those two?
Well, mainly because just about everybody I know goes to the Gap and buys clothes. And Capital Cities is Channel 7, which is ABC. And I read a couple of articles about how they changed owners and everything was starting over. And they were changing the system around where they were making everything more economical. And so I thought it'd be a good investment.
And have they proven good?
Yeah, the Gap, on this sheet they sent me today, they told me that the Gap has had a 20.63% change, and if it was possible to sell it and take the profit now, but it's impossible to do that because we don't have any, we won't have a chance to sell it. It's made about $8, and Capital Cities made about $11.
So you have to wait till you get more papers to file with your head of your experiment. Is that the idea? You can only make a transaction
at
a certain time.
We only was able to make about three transactions, and we made the last transaction 2 weeks ago, so we won't be able to get rid of it. Just hope it don't go down.
What are the ones that you started with that you goofed on?
American Express and Sony.
What happened to those?
American Express, we thought that would be good because we heard they got high, a 21% interest rate, and we thought it would make a lot of money because, you know, it was getting around the holidays, but it didn't. And Sony, it was making money, but it wasn't making enough. It was kind of slow, just real steady. So we got rid of them and went into what we knew was making money.
So when you're picking a company to invest in, you pick one that you're familiar with as a product?
Well, we all, as a team, we all had our ideas. And we voted on what we were going to go into. It wasn't that I had all say so. Everybody agreed. And in the end, I could say I picked Capital Cities. But everybody else picked the other ones, and they proved right. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
So as a team, you discussed the product that you know on the street.
Right. In fact, we made about a 20-30 stock list, and we cut it all down to what we thought was going to be good, depending on the holidays, the situations that were coming up now, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You talked to your parents about it?
I tried to, but they weren't no help.
Do they follow the stock market?
Not at all. Well, my uncle does, but I wasn't able to get in touch with him because it's hard to keep up with him.
So your parents don't understand what you're doing?
Well, they understand. They just want help.
Okay. Are you investing any of your own money?
No.
Would you if you had it?
Maybe in the future, probably I would. But I would, if I had the money now, I wouldn't invest it.
Why not?
There's a lot of things I need right now that I like.
Like clothes at the Gap or?
Like a car.
Okay. Is there anyone?
Not now. It's too risky.
I would.
I mean, I would, yeah.
If you got about $10,000 or $15,000, just, no, maybe in the future, if you're making a lot of money, it'd be wise to do that. Make more money.
I wouldn't do a lot because, I mean, the stock market is such a chancy thing. It could, you know, be going up a lot one day and all of a sudden drop. And that's just, money is too valuable nowadays.
But what about when it's making, what about when it's going up? Just think about what, when it's going up.
Yeah, but if you're not, I mean, if you're not really into it every day, then, you know, it could drop so fast, and then you'll just have to, like, probably give all of your money to the stockbroker to pay off your debt and his, you know, his part of it, too.
Well, what about real estate, then? Everybody invests in real estate. Oh, women invest in real estate. No, so I think it'll be wise.
But neither of you have enough money right now.
No.
Anyway, you don't have that extra $10,000, do you? And what is your name?
Heather Nickerson.
Heather, spell your last name for me.
N-I-C-K-E-R-S-O-N.
Okay. And how old are you?
16.
So you're a junior also.
Mm-hmm.
This is your first year in the stock market. How has your team been doing?
I'm on Ronaldo's team.
Oh, you are? So
yeah.
You're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But you still aren't ready to put your own money into it.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Okay. About the stock market?
Not really. Mostly what I knew about the stock market was from, like, the stock market crash in 1929. So that's about all I knew. But, you know, going over it every day and seeing how stocks are doing and then, you know, putting your consumer knowledge into it helps because you know what people buy nowadays. Like, you know, if you were going to invest in a toy company, you'd want to probably invest in something that makes Cabbage Patch dolls or something like that. So,
what about other factors? Have you gotten into those factors, some like insider trading and words of a merger or, economic news from the president? Do you look at those factors also?
Not really. When we're about to make our decision, well, I think Ronaldo does most of the research, and we kind of say yes, we agree, or yes, we don't. I mean, Ronaldo mostly does the research on it, the captain.
We read takeovers. We looked for takeovers, and like Bank America was supposed to be having a takeover, so we bought it, and then it didn't, so we had to sell it. And then we saw another takeover, and takeovers are usually a good idea, but sometimes they just don't happen. They're just rumors that we read about in the newspaper, so that's what we looked for.
Does that worry you that you're relying on rumors and stories from the paper and you know maybe don't know as much about what really goes on as you'd like to?
Yeah, it didn't worry me, but you just have to, you know, instincts, you know, you just have to look at it and say, well, maybe it will and maybe it won't, and we'll just sell if it doesn't. But we also had help from a broker who told us, who gave us some ideas on things that would be hot, and we looked at them and considered them, and I bought a couple of things that were from his list. So they
like
worked
what?
Out. What did we buy? We bought Bally. I don't know if it's shoes and stuff. I don't know what it is. But we bought that, and we bought Seagram's for the holiday season.
And how has that worked out?
That was the best one. That was the best one, because we liked the commercials, and we thought that they were doing really well with everything. So, and it worked out well.
Okay. And what is your name?
Issa Nickel.
Can you spell your first name?
E-S-A.
Uh-huh.
N-I-C-K-L-E.
And how old are you?
16.
Okay. So you were doing this before you came to this class.
Yeah.
How did you get interested?
Well, when I got a computer when I started high school, I bought a stock market simulation for it and played that, and because I was interested in the stock market then, and playing that taught me a lot about it. So, and when we started the games here, I brought my computer to school to help Ms. Bartels explain how to play the stock market and use newspaper articles to predict what's going to happen to the stocks. And I also went over call and put options with them.
So when you started, how old were you?
I was 14.
And what got you interested in it? I mean, it's kind of an odd thing for a 14-year-old to pick up.
Well, I like money. So I thought the stock market game for the computer would help me get ready for if I wanted to play the stocks in real life later on.
Mm-hmm. Have you played the stocks in real life yet?
No. Just at home and with this class.
What are your plans for? I mean, you're waiting for a certain amount of money?
Well, I have my cousin works for a stock brokerage, and he gave me a few tips for this class. And if I play the stocks later on in life, I can go to him for advice on things and hopefully make a lot of money off it.
Do you plan a career in stock market?
No. I'll leave that to my cousin. I plan to go more with computers.
Okay. How's your team doing?
We were in 96th place with, how much did we have? 103,000 something.
Okay. So you have the same stocks as Issa has been investing in?
Yeah, she was our captain.
Okay. And your name is?
Grayvon. G-R-E-Y-L-I-N.
L-A-N?
I-N. Last name's I-H-H-E-H.
And are you also a junior?
I'm a senior.
And how old are you?
18.
Okay. How long have you been following stock market? Just since you've gotten this class?
Since the game started, yeah. Mm-hmm. And before that, I didn't know too much about the stock game, but I knew what companies I'd go into before.
How do you choose
the game.
Them?
Well, in this game, I choose them out of the New York Times, actually, because I looked at everything graphically and day by day. And that way I was able to see how much each stock was worth, not only just if it was going up or down by 1/8 or whatever. Okay. That I found it a lot easier. I went into companies that not were just one-name companies, but they owned a lot of other things. They owned like 10 different brands of cigarettes. They owned 10 different types of soft drinks or whatever.
Were they products that you knew?
No, I've never heard of them before, actually, except Bank of America, which I sold, though.
How are they doing?
Well, the stock that I ended up with now, I came in 98th place with, but what happened in doing the transaction is I filled out the form, and then selling Bank of America, I filled that out last. So what happened was I was buying before selling, so which means I was buying something that I didn't have the money for, kind of. And so the company that I would have done very well with, they put away they just eliminated, period, because I didn't have the money for it, because the way I filled out the form, I sold Bank of America last.
So if you had sold that first, that would have given you the cash to buy the other company that did so well.
Right. I would have come out completely different.
You would have had
$140,000. Right.
Now you... Right. And now you learned.
Exactly.
Have you... Makes you glad that this isn't real money, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I still can't... With this one company, I still came out on top, but I would have came out very much on top the other way.
Okay. Companies based on performance... strictly by the numbers,
right.
And not things that you
exactly.
really knew or could see on the street.
Right.
Do you think that works out well? You're going to keep doing it?
Yeah. Definitely. That's most definitely the way
How
I do
did
it.
You arrive at this idea? What made you approach it this way?
Well, I noticed that looking in the Tribune that it just didn't give 100% of the information that you need to. Like, if it was real money, I would never do it that way. So I wanted to look at it graphically day by day and what was going on. That was the best way. Like, with this computer, that's the best way to do it. You're watching everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're sort of aware. It's good to be aware of your money.
Do you have plans to invest real money at some point?
Sometime in the future, yeah, probably. I'm sure, yeah.
How about your parents? Do your parents invest in the stock market?
They don't. They do. My dad does futures.
So were you able to discuss the stock market with him, though?
Yeah, sort of, for the most part. Just talk about, mostly for the trading part of it, the buying and selling. That's what I could relate to him with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your business section every day? Or close to it?
I follow it, like, a little bit. Not as much as I should, but I do follow it more than I would have if I hadn't have had this class.
Did you read it? What did you read from the newspaper before?
Well, from the newspaper before, it was basically the front page, the comics, and the horoscopes, and just stories if they caught my eye.
And now you flip over to the business section.
Yeah, a little bit.
And what do your parents say when they watch you grab the business section?
Well, they don't usually see me, but my mom thinks it's a good idea that I'm really getting to know about the stuff.
because I didn't know anything before.
So you had no interest in business or finance before, pretty much no interest?
Well, I was interested. I just really wasn't as into it as I am now.
Will you continue to watch after you're done with this class?
Probably.
Okay, and your name?
Reba Middleton.
Okay, so R-E-B-A?
Yeah.
M-I-B-D?
L-E-T-O-N.
And how old are you?
16.
Okay. Anybody else manage to interest their parents in it? I would think H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N? Mm-hmm. Okay. And how old are you, Leslie?
16.
Okay. And what are your plans?
I plan to go to college, and I plan to double major because here I'm taking fine arts, so I'm a fine arts major. So I plan on double majoring in drama and business administration or accounting.
So what would you do with those two?
It's just basically something to have something else to back up with in case one doesn't work out, and then I always have the other. So
is that a plan you arrived at after this class or based on this class?
No, we were told, because we had a teacher, and she said that if you were going to take drama in college, that you should drop double major in order to have something to back it up. And last year, I was thinking about accounting, but this year, I was thinking about taking business administration, you know, or accounting, one of them.
Mm-hmm. How has your team been doing?
Not well, because, we're doing okay the last time. We had lost a little money. And I sold some stocks, and we bought some other ones. I think we bought them too early because we bought ones we think that would go up because of Christmas. And so now that everything's Christmas is coming closer, we think they'll start going up.
Like what did you buy?
Carson Perry and Scott, Sears, Sony, and we also have two that's been like stable, Holiday, and Clorox.
Why Clorox?
Well, Clorox has a lot of products out, and usually everybody buys them that I know. They always Clorox products. So that's why I bought that one. And the Holiday, I thought, it's Christmas season. People will be traveling. They'll be staying places, going on vacation, so maybe their sales go up.
Holiday Inn, you mean?
Yeah, Holiday Inn. Uh-huh. So that's what I bought.
So you have to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that hard?
No, it's not hard. I mean, you just look at the paper every day and just wait until after it's done. It's not really that hard.
I mean, mentally. I mean, are you worried?
About Clorox and Holiday, I don't know. But I think Carson Perry and Scott sales will go up a lot, and Sears, too. Because from my friends, I've been told that from their parents who, like, know people who work at Sears and everything, that sales are starting to go up, so it should be going up soon.
Do you find you take more of an interest in the product now that you have a little investment in it, even if it's only a phony investment?
Yeah, because every Saturday when we leave our class that we have on Saturdays, we always go to Carson Perry and Scott and see how things. We walk around there, and you just see how things are going. So that's basically it.
Kind of watch for people to buy expensive items.
Yeah. Yeah. Take our friends shopping there.
Okay. All right. Plans for a business career?
Yeah, I'm planning on going in business finance.
What exactly? Do you have any idea?
Looking at colleges, I wanted to go in business. I've been wanting to go in business for a while, so I have picked finance because I thought that would be the one that would be best for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one I plan to pursue.
Okay, so not necessarily based on this class, but you took this class probably because of that.
This class helped me decide that. Also, I'm a math science major in this school, and I think I'm good at math. Mm-hmm. Plus, a couple years ago, my dad took an income tax class, and I went through it with him. And if I really wanted to, I could do my own income tax. And just knowledge and stuff like that made me want to go in business finance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now you're not doing so well. What's your last name, Jason?
Wardley. Wardley. W-A-R-D-L-Y.
Okay. And how old are you?
I'm 16.
Thank you. You started off really high with what investments?
I
I started out with IBM. I talked to my father's friend of mine, and he said, you know, invest in some of the more solid stocks. So he recommended IBM, and I recommended IBM, and so I invested in that, and it did go up. It went up about a point and a quarter. Mm-hmm. From what I had, I mean, and I watch it, and I'd watch it go up. You know, I'd look at the figures. I watch it go up and watch it go down. But it basically, you know, it was really solid. You know, so that's what I liked about it.
Where some of the others are looking for real quick increase and they get burned.
Yeah, I don't know. It's with this, it's hard to get a quick increase because you invest it and then you can only invest every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, as where when they find out about the information downtown, it's done immediately. Mm-hmm. But doing this gave me a pretty good understanding, like, you know, the short sell. And, like, I figured out one thing that I always wanted to know is how you could make money if the stock went down. Do you know? You know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. From just getting more of an understanding about it.
Do you have plans to continue in this field?
I don't know. I've thought about it, but maybe spend a couple of years in there. But I wouldn't want to make it my life.
Why not?
It's too much money, you know. Like, you could, if you get rich, you know, then go buy a glass, you know, go buy a house in the Caribbean or something.
Does it make you nervous thinking about all that money?
Or I'd want to, like, if I made money, I'd want to, like, get out and not get totally into it, like some of the people there.
Mm-hmm. That means to an end. It isn't something you'd keep doing for fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know anything about the stock market when you came into this?
No, I didn't.
Did it overwhelm you at first?
Not really. It was just new information. Mm-hmm. About, you know, and so now I could, like, understand what they're talking about on the news, you know, mm-hmm. and have all the background information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, fine. Mm-hmm.
You got it. In terms of leadership, each team elects a captain. And sometimes you can take the quietest, meekest child, and all of a sudden, when he becomes a captain, he's a leader. And there is a tremendous amount of respect from his other fellow students, which helps self-esteem and which helps, I think, in character building. And I think that is probably one of the best things that comes out of this. You discover leaders, and when the late young lady who won last year as top Chicago captain has a great deal of opportunity, I think, in the future as a result of being with Midwest security analysts at two banquets, had her picture in the Tribune. It was a whole new scene for this young lady, and we're very proud of her.
Okay. Is a way to, you have to set up a little bit with me, is a way to get kids in touch with the real world.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're a little closer, you'll have to set up. Sorry, I can't be so comfortable.
What we are interested in is to teach the students about how the economic system operates. And to really get them motivated, you have to relate to the real world in some fashion which gathers their attention. And obviously, a stock market experiment provides that kind of a hook.
Do you find that you have trouble at first getting them to understand? Is it complex for them?
Well, the thing is that we start out with the fifth grade, and we look on it as a developmental economic education program, which all of our programs are. You cannot expect a student to understand the economic system by giving them a course called quotation marks economics in the 12th grade for a three-month period and expect them to really understand it. But if you start them out in a very simple fashion and then go to more complicated economic principles over a longer period of time, then you'll find that they learn a great deal. So that we generally recommend to the teachers, if you start out with fifth grade students, be very simple about it. You know, just put in orders for buying stock and hold them for periods of time and sell the stock. Don't go into such things as buying on margin or selling short or anything complicated. So keep it fairly simple to start out with. We also provide them an awful lot of background material so that the students can take this and learn at their own pace. They take things home to their parents, and they discuss things with their parents. They talk to brokers. We have resource people come in and talk to the classes. So as a consequence, what happens is perhaps they'll be exposed to it in the fifth grade, then once again maybe in the seventh or the eighth or the ninth, and then finally they'll get to the 12th grade. And by that time, we get some very, very sophisticated investors.
And many of the kids that I've talked to invest based on the products they know. At Christmas time, they choose the stores they shop in and the products that they buy or their families buy. Do you also, we'll first discuss that. Is that, that's pretty much the way
that's,
they go?
That's pretty much the way almost all of the students will start out. However, if you'll notice from the newsletters, which I send out with the experiment, we also tell them to look at the new highs and lows or the largest percent trading volumes in the New York Stock Exchange and the other exchanges, and they start to identify companies which are hot companies that are moving. They start to read articles in the newspapers and identify takeovers and merger attempts and things of that type. And believe me, you know, we've got about 10 or 15,000 students out there working, and they get to be pretty sharp about picking out these things.
What about the economic news? Have you been discussing with the students the latest takeover, the Boesky business, the inside trading, and do you find that?
Well, if you you notice the latest newsletter, I've given them a sermon on morals and ethics and talked about the Boesky thing.
What do you tell them?
Well, I'm just indicating to them that that Boesky is a is sort of an aberration, that most of the people in the business are honest and are doing fair dealing, that the reason that Boesky makes news is because he's unusual.
Have you been getting calls from students about this? Does this make them worry that they can't trust what they're seeing in the market?
Oh, yes, very much so.
What do they tell you?
Well, they're interested in how that, if they have this sort of a thing with Boesky, is it affecting some of the stocks which they're investing in? Because we're hypothetically investing. But you have to understand, we make this almost like a real-world situation, except that it is hypothetical money. And in that case, the kids get very, very motivated, and you wouldn't believe really how interested they get in stocks and what they are trying to do to get their portfolio value up.
So does it get them concerned? How do you instill their confidence in the market when you have things like this in the headlines?
Well, the only way you can do that is to point out in the newsletters, again, that it is unusual, and to make them aware of the fact that, hey, there are a lot of people in the business who are honest and decent and are trying to do a good job. We also have them arrange for field trips to brokerage firms. We have resource people come in and talk to them, and they see role models who are quite different than what they read about in the newspapers. And they get a chance to interact with those people on a one-on-one basis, which most school children will not be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, you told me on the phone that you get kids so interested that they call you when they read things in the paper. They're calling you at home. How closely are they following their stocks?
Well, they're following their stocks very closely, almost as closely as anybody who is dealing in real money.
Are you surprised at how seriously they take this?
No, not really, because I think that if you can relate to the real world, and the kids can actually see what is going on and begin to get some idea about the economic system operates, they realize how important it is to their future, their jobs, their careers, what they're going to be doing in the future, and what kind of a society we're going to have.
I would imagine you have steered many kids into a career in business and finance that they might not otherwise have chosen.
Well, I don't like the word steer, okay, because what I try and do is to be very, very neutral about careers. And, you know, in some of the newsletters I talk to them about the medical and dental field and other things of that particular type, because not everybody is going to be equipped for a career in the financial field. However, I do point out to them that, particularly in Chicago, that the financial community is one of the very largest segments of our job population, and there are all sorts of jobs available that they can do, whether you talk about operating a computer, operating on the floor of some of the exchanges, or working as a broker or an accountant in the back room, that there are thousands and thousands of jobs which depend on the financial community here in Chicago.
Now, you have hundreds of schools involved in this. Is it six? I'm not even sure how many. Do you know?
I would estimate about 300 schools this fall session. We also have about another 200 schools which are operating through subsidiary experiments, which are running out of NIU, Northern Illinois University, Southern Illinois University, and the Springfield Marine Bank. Okay. We cover the state of Illinois.
Okay. Now, it's set up, it strikes me as kind of an intramural sport sort of thing. Does it take on that kind of competitive?
Oh, yes, very much so.
In what way?
Well, the Securities Industry Association Central States District provides nominal cash prizes. For instance, $100 for the top portfolio in the high schools and $100 for the top portfolio in the elementary schools. And then I think second prize is 75 and third is 50 and fourth is 25. So the kids really get turned on by that amount of money. And I send them on a biweekly basis a team ranking report, which shows how they're performing versus all of the other teams that are participating. And it gets to be an intra-school sort of a rivalry. And we also have classroom rivalries that develop. For instance, Lincoln Park High School, which I think you visited. Mm-hmm. One young lady won one of the top prizes, and she indicated when she was saying about how she did it that she lost her boyfriend because her team outperformed her boyfriend's team, and he wouldn't talk to her anymore. So they really get into it.
Was that Sonia Douglas that I talked about?
I believe that was her name, yes.
And is that part of it, too, that you're developing that kind of competitive edge they need if they go into this career?
Well, that's one of the things that I try and emphasize. I was in business for 20 years before I came back to teaching. And you have to understand that there has to be a certain amount of competitiveness in order for you to survive. And I try and promote competitiveness without promoting some incentives to cheat.
Okay. Have you caught any cheaters?
In some cases, yes. But we provide a very good auditing procedure, and as soon as we detect some pattern of that type, we contact them and let them know about it.
What were they doing? I mean, how would they change?
Well, one of the techniques which was used early on was send in the transactions mailed late. In other words, buy the stock a day after the price went up. So we put a stop to that pretty quickly by paying a lot of attention to postmarks and changing the way in which they purchase it so the teachers could control it better. One of the reasons that we only transact every 2 weeks, for instance, is so that we don't have to make a daily check on that kind of cheating.
But those weren't things sent in by teachers. Those were things the students
things
sent in.
Things sent in by students. But what happens is the teachers probably allowed it because they were too busy to really check, and they weren't aware of what happened. I said this happened early on in the development of the experiment. And we pretty much now tell the teachers exactly what can go on, and they watch for it.
So do you find some really, I'm sure you do, outstanding kids who really have a mind for finance, kids who made some creative research techniques or buying techniques, or some things that stand out in your mind as really exceptional?
Well, we had the award luncheon last May. And there was one young man from the from an elementary school who won the top prize. And he got up and talked about why he chose stocks and talked about how interest rates fluctuation affects stock prices, talked about company assets and takeover and merger attempts. And here is a student who is probably, 13 years old? And he gave a speech that would be worthy of some of the people from the Investment Analyst Society here in Chicago.
So he's got quite a future, you think?
I think he has, no question about it.
Have some of your students gone on to major jobs in the finance?
Oh, yes. Well, not major jobs yet. You have to understand we've only been working at it for 6 years. But a fair number of students now are working on the exchanges or as account executives. And every once in a while I'll get a letter in the mail saying, hey, Doc, I participate in your stock experiment in such and such a time, and I'm now working for this firm, Merrill Lynch or something like that, and I'd like to act as a resource person for one of the schools. So we've been in it long enough where we're starting to get that kind of feedback.
Do you find kids who take a particular interest in what the companies are doing with their money? I mean, I see that they're real quick to jump ahead to how much money am I making today. No. But in the real world, there's a growth in the social investment funds and companies that you can take an interest in what they do. That is, if kids invest in Morton Thiokol, do they take a note of the protests of what Morton Thiokol might do with their money? And their
I don't believe that's a major concern as far as they're concerned. I don't think that they're that sophisticated at that age or that socially concerned. I think that's something which develops when you start to get into the later high school years or into the college years.
So you've never gotten calls or comments from kids wondering about what's happening?
No, I can't honestly say that I have.
Okay. Do you think that might have been more common some time ago, maybe in the 70s? Do you think that's
not for this age group? I don't think so. I think that they have other things on their mind other than, again, social obligations. For instance, when you're in high school, even the boys and the girls now, the major thing that is on their mind is wheels. Right? And they're not really thinking about social concerns.
Okay.
I should probably say except in the exceptional case.
Okay. All right, let me take...
was when you started working on this, and that is that one of the great things about this is it teaches the kids to handle money, even on a hypothetical basis, and may get them interested in doing investment on their own. And one of the things I emphasize with the elementary students particularly is the fact that if you start a stock market investment early enough, that the miracle of compound interest is going to be such that you might hope to have at least some substantial funds to apply against your college education. So the earlier you can get at them and the earlier you can teach them the principles of investment and give them some idea of the investment alternatives, not just the stock market, the better off you're going to be. And I think that this goes a long way toward teaching them how to handle money and the effects of interest if they borrow money and the effect of commissions charged on doing things, and gives them, I think, a leg up on a lot of people who are not exposed to this.
Do you find some of them teaching their parents as well?
Oh, I think that there's no question about it. That's one of the nice things about this is that a lot of the work which the students do is outside of class, and the teacher doesn't have to push them. I get some reactions from teachers every once in a while where they come in and start this and say, I'm a little leery about starting this program because I don't know anything about the stock market. Well, my reply to them is just this, and that is, you don't have to know anything about the stock market. Just give it to your students, and they'll teach you. And there's no question about it. The teacher doesn't have to push them in order to go. They get interested. They get motivated. They do most of the work outside of class. Doesn't take up a lot of class time. They get their parents involved, and the parents start to see, hey, there's something in this education process. So in that case, we get a lot of... spin-offs from it, which are not readily apparent when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I think quarter. The first one was you were saying sometimes the kids give you advice. Can you tell me that story again?
Yeah. As I was saying, some of the more sophisticated students do their research and come up with some stocks which are really hot. In my personal case, I came up with Kyoto Ceramics, which is a stock that one of the students found and went up pretty fast, and the computer printed out messages indicating that this occurred. So I became interested and invested on my own, but it was a very good stock tip that I got from the students.
You would never have known about it otherwise?
Never have known about it because it's a very obscure stock, and I don't think, you don't see articles in a newspaper on it or anything like that, but one of the students found it, and you're amazed how many of the students will pick up some obscure stock which you never heard of before.
Do you remember roughly how much you made with that tip?
No, not offhand, because I have not let the stock go yet. But it's it's gone up 50-75% since I purchased it.
How long ago?
About 2 years ago.
Okay. And the other thing you're saying is the kids are conservative?
Yeah, the students are generally very conservative, particularly in the elementary schools. And I say, I don't know whether we're creating monsters or not, but what happens is that the elementary teachers say they have a very difficult time at first getting the students to spend all of their $100,000, which we give them in hypothetical money. But by the time the experiment ends, which is about a 12 or 13 week total period, they've learned to spend money.
Does the winner, what's the typical percent for the winner? They don't double their money. But
In the past, they have doubled. In one case, it was 2.5 times, $250,000 out of a $100,000 portfolio. But more commonly, it's in the 50 to 60% range.
Okay.
Kind of a reason. Sometimes print this out on. It's a little, that's much higher speed than the other one. Or not.
the Fifth Amendment. This is law, and they're taking the Fifth Amendment, so it doesn't fit in with what
okay.
Get together with the teams. Okay, captains. Jason's group over here. All right, Aaron's group where Aaron is. Yes, Aaron.
Are you going to give me that paper that I didn't get yesterday?
Yes, we'll get it. But please cooperate with Ms. Halperin. She needs to have this for WMAQ. Okay? Captain, yes. Perfect. I've been saying on channel 1167 in the O'Leary or not right. It's fine. Yes.
Our captain is our main assistant. Our captain is
all right, could you take over? Because you know what they bought.
I don't, that's the thing. I mean, we just like consulted with them. We gave them, you know, our choices.
All right, well, what are your choices?
It's been a long time. It's been like 2 weeks.
See if and we have any of these old things that they would have had that would refresh your memory. Okay, Leslie Henderson, this is, see if there's anybody from your class. Why don't you take a business section, and just as we had in class, where you had to analyze business articles, and have me at least 1 to 3 articles on what was going on in the market today. All right. Take the business section, and today you're going to discuss 1 or 2 of these articles for WMAQ. Quickly, start reviewing, since you don't have the call sheet. All right, now we have Aaron's team, we have April's team. Is it Avril's team or April? Who's the team? April is the team captain. Okay. Chastity, what group are you on?
Aaron's team.
Aaron? Okay. Do you have a business section of the Tribune? Okay. And we have another team here with Jason. Okay. Okay. Right now, let's work on this because this is a big change. What we're doing is seeing how class, your various teams are doing as of today, which is December 10th. DePaul will not tell us how we're doing until sometime after the 5th because they're using January 3rd, Craig, as the closing date for our teams and how we stand in respect to the other 864 teams, or better than that. So as far as we know, Aaron was 13th out of all these teams. And Aaron, why don't you tell us specifically what businesses you bought the stocks in for your team? You want to go there?
Main investment that I made is Xerox. And I guess I caught it at a low and rode it all the way until it got up high. I don't know how I'm going to do in the last part because I didn't change and I didn't keep it. So that's it. I made also investments in PepsiCo and one that a friend of mine works for, Ally Company. I don't know what the last part was, but that was the main deal. And one more. What else do we work?
What is Xerox worth as of yesterday's close, Aaron? Look it up and tell us what it's worth.
Let me see. Which one is Xerox?
Yeah, check out Xerox. Now, just for general information, Ms. Halperin, the Tribune gives us
of the articles.
That's all right, don't be nervous.
Okay, she's told us quite a few of the articles and pointed out certain things that have been rising or takeovers, like you said, and she's given us tips.
But right. Specifically, and
well, I don't
know. It's $100 million fine.
Oh, okay, well, I just remember you telling us about certain things that were being taken over by different companies, like, say, I remember a long time ago about Sara Lee and popsicles and how they were dropping the popsicle and selling out of the popsicles, so they were just going to keep the bakery goods or whatever that they have now, and how maybe that might be a good investment.
For instance, the headline here talks about jitters, you know. Nothing. I have to follow you here. You weren't worried?
No. Well, I'm not the captain. I'm just a member.
That's all right, but you were investing anyway. You weren't worried? Why not?
Because they always told us you have to take a risk, you know, to make a good investment. Even if you want a good investment, just take a risk.
And even though some of the factors affecting that risk are well beyond you?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that when you first read it in the paper?
Take a risk? I don't know.
And your name, please?
Chastity Parker.
Okay, and are you a junior?
Junior.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Something? No. Your awesome factors might be affecting inside information, affecting your products. What did you think about your own investment?
I hoped it wouldn't lose money so that we could win and then we could go to the bank.
Did it shake your confidence in your ability to make money in the market?
No, not really. It's not really. That's nothing. Because we're not really playing with our money, so it was kind of fun. Right.
You don't have to worry about so much what you don't have to worry about it so much because it's not your money. It's not, you know, it's like it's not our money. We're not really losing anything, so it's kind of, it's simulated. So it's not really, you don't really get nervous about it, though it is nice to see something rise.
If you did have real money in the market, would this worry you?
You'd care a lot more about what it is because it is obviously your money.
Have you thought about putting your own money in the market?
Not right now. Later,
if
maybe.
If you had it, maybe?
Maybe later. There'd probably.
Really? If you get some, you will?
Yeah. Cool. If I get some Christmas money, I'll invest.
What kinds of things? The same stocks that you're buying on paper?
Probably penny stocks or something like that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
And your name again, please?
Aaron Foster.
And are you a junior?
Yeah.
Also 16?
Junior.
And what is your name?
Jennifer Jacks.
J-O-C-K-J-A-C-Q-U-E-S.
Okay, no problem. Fine, we're whatever talking about sounds. Equal credit opportunity. Does everyone have one of these sheets in connection with credit? Our union is now on credit. Right now we're working on Eric. Right now we're working on this one. Everybody has this sheet now. We're being recorded through sound plans. Equal credit opportunity. Would you read what the Equal Credit Opportunity Act consists of and when did it become a law, please?
Okay, the Equal Credit Opportunity Act became law in 1975. A new law made it legal for non-credit students just because they were women. Further discrimination in money practices is all about the regulation being an amendment to the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. Regulation being is unlawful to discriminate in money practices on the basis of race, color, religion, natural origin,
Aaron, was there a necessity for this kind of a law? Were people discriminated against because of their marital status? How do you define marital status?
Single, divorced, or married.
Okay. What about, were people discriminated against because of their race?
Yeah, sure.
Examples. What do you know? You know anything from your relatives, from your family?
Fountains and water fountains and buses.
No, we're talking about credit. Yeah, we're talking about credit. Adam.
I would think if you went to a bank and asked for a loan, that, you know, 10, 20 years ago, and you were black, just because you're black, they just refuse it.
And what Supreme Court decision made a change, not only, we're not talking about credit now, but we're talking generally about equality for black people. What Supreme Court decision and what year do we study?
Brown.
What?
Brown, first Board of Education.
Of Topeka, Kansas in 1954. Okay, what amendment did the case, was the Supreme Court refer to in connection with equality before the law? The 14th, and therefore, the Supreme Court found that not only were people being discriminated against and not given their rights according to the 14th Amendment, but it was psychologically demoralizing to the person.
Is that the case where a guy got on the train and he sat?
No, that's Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896. And that is what allowed the court to be discriminatory for 58 years because it said in the Plessy case, separate but equal was okay. Now, it took until 1954 to change that.
All right, but that had to do with schools with separate water fountains that are no longer allowed, with separate segregation in general, so segregating whether it be the